Okay, so here we go. Welcome to Journey Within with myself, Nigel Paul Miller. Today, I'm joined by Lynette Gehrman, also known as the Angel Knight. She is a forensic and intuitive healer, a spiritual life coach, a timeline therapist, NLP practitioner, and co-author of the book, A Journey to Riches, Building Your Dreams. Welcome to the show, Lynette. Great to have you on. How are you today?
I am absolutely fabulous, and thank you so much for inviting me on. I am so excited to be here.
Excellent stuff, excellent stuff. Happy to have you here, happy to have you here. So, yeah, so obviously I came across you on Facebook not too long ago, and I saw some of your posts and some of your kind of memes and stuff that you were sharing. I found them to be very insightful, and I just had that kind of impulse to reach out to you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your kind of situation at the moment, and what's kind of led you up to the point where you are now with regards to what you're doing, helping people in the world.
Mm-hmm. Where do I start? It's been a big journey for me to reach where I am now. I'm at this place where I am in consistent peace and this real feeling of freedom and love, just intense love. I just have so much joy for life and so much passion, and the funny thing is, nothing matters. It doesn't matter whether anything turns out or whether anything doesn't turn out. It's all good. The experience of it is all just absolutely extraordinary for me. So I just feel like life is such an adventure now. But it certainly wasn't always like that. It's been, put it mildly, one hell of a journey to get here. And talking to you yesterday, Nigel, it was interesting. It was spontaneous when I you started talking about the Mercury retrograde and just, you know, the ups and downs that you know, everyone's going through. And you asked me how I was going, and I've actually really navigated this whole period in such a smooth way that it's been fun. Like, you know, there's just been nothing about it that's been difficult. But I began my process actually to prepare for this, as I said yesterday, last October, and it was I cut myself off from everyone except half a dozen people, and the reason I did that is because I was, I've suffered from nerve pain for the last 10 years. I had an injury back in 2008 and lost the use of my right arm completely. The nerve sensitivity in the two main nerves running up the right arm was so severe. I couldn't even pick up a piece of paper. I needed help to get dressed. I was completely one-armed. And so that began in 2008, and it's been a gift because it's allowed me the space to see what was activating the actual pain, and it was to do with if I was emotionally stressed, I would have a lot more nerve pain. And I'd been through a lot of trauma before, before that period, and I was really just endeavouring to get my life together. I'd made a big move from one side of the Australian continent to the other, and was just endeavouring to get my life together. Everything felt like it was turning out, pretty good, pretty smooth. And then I had this injury, and that's what showed me that the nerve sensitivity was directly related to emotional pain. And so that was the beginning of me realizing I have to actually release, clear, heal, do whatever it took so that the trauma wasn't in my body anymore. So it all began with releasing the emotional trauma, which, you know, took me on a journey of becoming an NLP practitioner and doing some hypnotherapy courses and becoming the timeline therapist, and a whole range of things of getting to understand human behavior, and understanding other people by observing them, and then understanding myself by observing myself, and helping to, in the end, helping to heal them because I was healing myself. And it was quite an intriguing journey of really getting deep into people's subconscious and understanding from that whole subconscious level how human beings operate. And I then got into the more spiritual side, which I realized that what a lot of my clients were saying to me when I was taking them through, you know, timeline therapy and different NLP techniques and hypnotic visualizations, I realized what I was sensing and feeling in my body and the words that were coming out of my mouth. Later on, they would say that what I was saying was exactly what they were experiencing without them even telling me. So I had no idea that that's what their experience was and that's what the visuals were that were happening inside their head. I was just enhancing what they were already seeing. So I began to then realize that I'm delivering a lot more than I realized I was, and began to get to know myself more deeply as an intuitive, which I really didn't understand before, and in the process developed my own skills as being claircognizant and clairsentient and just knowing stuff and learning to trust that. And so that led me to actually going down the spiritual healing modalities more and more. Where I began to release curses in people and do all sorts of bizarre stuff that I had never thought I would do. And I understood all of the spiritual stuff from a logical perspective because I understood the subconscious so well and how people will put together visuals of certain life experiences. And then I then understood things like the spiritual visions that people would have and why it would be interpreted in a certain way. So then I started getting some visions myself and started hearing things, and like everything within me just awakened. But it was a journey. And that began because of the injury. Now it was in 2018, I was pretty well over the injury. I'd healed, a lot of the emotional trauma. I was able to use my hand again. I was writing with my left hand predominantly. But I re-injured myself and I took a pretty heavy fall and ended up reactivating the nerve sensitivity in those two main nerves, which ran up my right arm and goes through my neck and down, joins with the left arm. And I found I couldn't use both arms without a lot of pain. So that was a major step backwards, but it led me to writing my first book, which was, which you didn't mention, called Ascension Battlefield.
Ascension Battlefield.
Ascension Battlefield, yes. It's
subtitle. I love that title.
that was divinely guided. So the subtitle is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Inner Universe, Truth Seeker's Manual for Personal Peace. So it was really, I was at that point where I was at complete peace. And even though everything in my life wasn't exactly as I wanted it to be, I just felt extraordinary regardless. And given everything I'd been through before the injury, which was major, it was pretty significant that I'd reached that point. And I had a story to write. And then injuring both arms meant I stopped doing everything I was doing and then focused on actually creating a book. But it was after that, it was probably about 12 months after that, I was struggling a little bit with the fact that I was getting pain in both arms. And also I do have a neck injury, so I was getting extreme neck pain, which I never had before, regardless of the injury. So contrary to my better judgment, I allowed my GP, in his wisdom, and he was, you know, in no way incorrect to do so, that he suggested I take a nerve medication, which I needed to take daily. And so that was 12 months ago now. I was reluctant at first, and but it was having an effect on the actual pain. Mm-hmm. So I continued to take that basically every day, only in the night time. Helped me sleep, because I used to wake up every night anyway, so it was, you know, sort of served that purpose. And it did ease the pain in my arms. I started using my arms more again, just normally. But what happened was, because it was actually covering up the nerve pain, but not curing it, the nerve was still sensitive. I just wasn't feeling the pain. So in using my arms, because the nerve was still sensitive and because I had damage in my neck, I began getting severe neck pain. And then, of course, he recommended another medication, mm-hmm. which was like, well, this is something's not right here. And I just grinned and bared it for a while. And then in October last year, suddenly something just clicked inside me. I said, that's it, no more medication. Now, bear in mind, I'd been taking it every day for 12 months. So I knew I would actually go through some withdrawal symptoms. And I did this completely on my own, totally aware that I am a vibrational being. And if I've got pain, I'm just resisting something within myself, and that pain is going to show me exactly what it is that I'm resisting. So I did have extreme pain, and I sat for 11 days and almost no sleep.
Wow.
And just observed the pain, and because it was all linked to trauma memory, every memory that came up, I could acknowledge it and let it go. Now, because before this, for, you know, the previous 6, 7, 8 years, I had been working on releasing the emotional charge on all of the trauma, I could literally face the memories and look at them with pure love and feel nothing but love in the middle of extreme pain, and just let them go. And after that process, it actually put me into hospital because I was so exhausted, facing the pain and not sleeping. And
did you say 11 days you didn't sleep for?
Well, I did sleep, but because I was in extreme neck pain, not the arm pain that I initially had, but neck pain, it was difficult to sleep.
You couldn't
and it was, it was excruciating pain. But I understood myself as a vibrational being, so I trusted the process. And but there was a point where, because I understand energy so well as well, I knew what was going on. I knew the different processes that were happening. The pain was shifting around my body, and I would address what that is. And, you know, I would tune into it and go, okay, that's the vibration. That's what I got to release. Or that's the memory that would pop up. That's what I got to release. So I was very much doing a whole trauma memory release from my physical body. So in the process, 11 days, and then I didn't know what was going on. I started to feel this extreme. It felt like it was a hormonal response of anxiety, but I don't suffer from anxiety. So I could feel the sensation of anxiety, but I wasn't anxious.
Yeah.
And what I could feel was I couldn't feel my heart, and I was so dead tired. I felt like I was just going to pass out. But because I couldn't feel my heart, at that point, I didn't know whether I was safe. So I actually put myself in the hospital. I rang an ambulance and they took me in. What had happened, my heart rate had gone up to, I don't know, 153, I think they said. And I couldn't feel it until they arrived and they started to check me. And then I could feel my heart. So up until that point, I literally could not feel anything and I was so exhausted. And I was struggling to breathe. It was affecting my breathing. So I had the thought that perhaps I would just pass away in my sleep. Now, during the 11-day process, I woke up one morning and I basically looked at myself and thought to myself in extreme pain, wow, if I would have passed away last night, I would be okay with that because I have no regrets. That's how I was about 3 days earlier. But then when I thought that that was the possibility, I put myself straight in the hospital. So yeah. I certainly didn't have a death threat. and what they told me, my salts had gone right down. I had been vomiting because of the pain. I had extreme stomach cramping. And basically it was, they said to me, it was as if I had been in a marathon and I had just reached that verge of collapse. Because my salts were right down, my heart rate went right up, and all they did was give me an injection of salt. And that stabilised the heart rate pretty quick. And one of the nurses said, good thing you're so healthy. So the process, but I understood the hormonal responses through the whole process of releasing the pain. And I understood how the subconscious works. And I know how energy works. And I understood I'm vibrational. And all I knew is I have to just maintain this vibration of love and peace. And I did pray at one point, and I did use mantras, and I did say things like, I believe in miracles, and I did listen to some different music. Whatever intuitively I was guided to do in order to assist me through the process, I just completely trusted my own guidance to a point that still amazes me. And that's what I reached. That's what I had reached for a couple of years ago when I wrote the book Ascension Battlefield. I had reached that point where I just absolutely trust my own intuition. Like there is no doubt. And given where I had come from, where I have actually been through quite a lot of different abusive situations. My daughter was suicidal. I was quite traumatized by that. So many different things that I had experienced that I was basically living my life in fear. And given that I had experienced all that, and then I had finally thought I was free of all of that, and I sustained an injury and had all this pain, and I had the best attitude. But it's been such a varied, long, significant, impactful journey in so many extraordinary ways. And my only memories now are of joy. That is all I feel. Everything that I can, I can't even recall. I can remember other memories, but they're just not there because I only really feel joy. Now, I just love life so much and I appreciate everything I have experienced because my drive to get to where I am now, it wouldn't have been there to the depth that it was. And it was a massive transformation of everything that I was, a person that was scared and hiding and couldn't talk to people. And now I can't stop talking, as you can hear.
I was myself, actually. It's funny because you can do more talking on this podcast than I allow most of my interviewees to do. Usually I'm the one talking.
But I do apologize.
No, not at all. Your story is fascinating. And like the thing is, I kind of wanted to ask you, like, what was it within you when you were kind of on that medication for that period of time? What was it that sparked that kind of initial, you know, kind of, you know, drive to say, right, I've had enough of this, I'm done? Like, what was it that actually activated that kind of decision process in you? Was there something that happened? Was it a contemplation, a thought that you had about your future? What exactly was it that motivated you to say, right, I'm getting off this medication no matter what?
Well, yeah, that was interesting. It was actually and my partner doesn't even know this, because I haven't actually gone into depth about it with him, but it was there was an experience I had with him where I felt so much love coming from him in a way that I had not experienced from him in that way before. Like, yeah, I feel this strong connection, and yeah, there's this strong love, but this was new. It was a love that came from caring, and it was because I was actually my body temperature had gone up, and he showed a level of caring that he never had to before. But the love that I felt through that, it was just after that, I just suddenly said, that's it. You know, like, I know that my body is not supposed to be receiving this poison. I know that. And I have always been into health, always. And, you know, I do yoga and I've been a vegetarian most of my life, and these days I'm predominantly a vegetarian, and, you know, I drink water and I do some running, and like, I'm so into health that for me to have even been on this medication was just totally absurd.
Yeah.
But there was a lesson in that, and it was about trusting a professional beyond my own inner guidance, my own knowing. And allowing myself to trust somebody else.
Yes, first. Giving your power away, giving your intuitive ability away,
and trusting it,
and assigning that decision and that power to somebody else, external from you.
So that, yeah, so that was a lesson, and I'm grateful for that. But yeah, it was the love that I felt from a level of care that just came through naturally. There was no, you know, words about it. There was no, it was just there. And that was the energy that set it off. That's it. You know, I have to care for myself. I don't, you know, yes, I want to receive care from other people, but I have to care for myself. And for some reason, I had let it slip. So,
essentially, you know, what you did was you basically took back ownership of your situation. You took back responsibility for your own healing, 100% within yourself. And you said, right, I'm going to do this no matter what. And you had resolve, you had, you know, conviction that you were going to create that outcome no matter what. And you were going to endure Absolutely. No matter what. And, you know, and that's just when that decision is made from that point of power, even though you're in the midst of darkness and you're in the midst of the appearances of, you know, perilousness. But once you make that decision, I mean, it's already done. You know, you made that decision and you knew within your being that you were going to do it no matter what. And that feeling, you know, that feeling is what would have pushed you forward then through the pain afterwards. So tell me a little bit about then with regards to kind of your process for releasing. You were talking about you were doing kind of these kind of trauma scans in your body whereby you were kind of bringing up the memories and bringing up whatever the traumas were and releasing them. So what was your process for actually letting go of those traumas energetically?
Well, I can tell you if the traumas still had the emotional charge on them that they had in the past, I wouldn't have been able to release them. You know, basically when you're in pain, you know, if you start feeling, you know, emotional discomfort, it just skyrockets the pain even more. And then, you know, you feel like you're out of control. So if I would not have actually released the emotional charge before that, I know I could not have done that in that way. There's just no way, because the actual I wasn't in the vibration of the trauma. It was just the memory coming up. Whereas when you've got the emotional charge, you're in the vibration of that trauma. And like I do tapping, and I have taught people to do tapping, but I teach them in a way that all they do is tap all the points. And basically there's another tapping modality called faster EFT. And basically you tap all the tapping points and you say, I let go, I let go, I let go. Now, the reason I tell people to only do that on themselves is because if you start by acknowledging that there is that emotional charge, depending on how ingrained it is, you're in danger of actually putting yourself in it and not being able to pull yourself out of it, no matter how much you tap. No matter what techniques you use, you can actually put yourself in it and just not pull yourself out of it. But to do the faster EFT, you tap on all the points. You only do it when you know something's triggered within you and you don't like it, you want to get rid of it. So you just tap on the points and you take nice deep breaths and you go, I let go, I let go, I let go. And you just keep doing that until you feel that release. And so that's a good way of releasing the emotional charge on things on your own. That's one good technique. What I did when I was in the pain was because I actually... This is what happened. I spent so many years understanding that, you know, our heart is that emotional guidance center. It's our GPS. And I had spent so many years acknowledging the heart and the heart muscle, and understanding that whatever I was feeling, that was about some sort of vibrational, and I had to do something about it. Now, the processes were always different, but the fact was I had spent so long just focusing on the heart muscle that when I went and learned a new modality called forensic healing, which is based on kinesiology, and, you feel for the muscle response in another person, the third day into the training, I started getting the muscle response in my own body. And so that is how I actually do part of my intuitive healings, is I get a muscle response when I tune into somebody else's energy.
Wow.
That's part of what happens. So that is what I did for myself.
And what's the name of that Grains of Healing, was it?
Forensic. Forensic.
Oh, forensic healing. Okay. Yeah, you were saying that before.
Yeah.
Wow. So is that kind of, are you visualizing something on a molecular level? What way does that work exactly, the forensic healing?
Well, I'm feeling it. Sometimes I do get visions, but mostly I feel it, and I just have this intense knowing that then formulates a thought, and I will say something to a client and then that will trigger some sort of memory or some sort of response within them, and then that would be, we would find the answer together. So very much when I'm working on clients, it's a co-creation where, I will say, well, this is what I'm sensing. This is the vibration. This is, I'll scan for the age. I'll think ages in my head, and I'll get a muscle response, and I'll go, well, it's this age. And I don't doubt that muscle response. And even when they can't find something immediately, I go, well, there's something there. It doesn't matter if you don't see it immediately. And then I'll just, scan for different things. So it could be to do with, whether it's, the issue is to do with, family members, or whether it's, environmental. I'll basically ask these questions within myself and get a muscle response. And then I'll get visions and thoughts, and then words will just flow. So it's a combination of going within, and then this channeling information comes through, and something within the client will then spark a memory or an idea or a sense of knowing. And then given all the different pieces of the puzzle that I've brought up, they suddenly go, oh my God, I know what that's about. And it's like they have this light bulb moment with these random things that seem unrelated. Yeah. And it's just because I've gone, well, you know, this is the age and, you know, it's to do with a certain person and it's, you know, it's happened in these situations. And I just sort of bring forth stuff. Do you know, throw it all out on the table, yeah, and then there's an answer.
But you know what's beautiful about this? Like, I'm looking at this from a kind of perspective whereby you're essentially activating, you're essentially scanning their subconscious to find out what the issue is. And then when they start thinking about it, then when they get the light bulb moment, it's like the unconscious is coming up to the conscious and they're like, oh my God, that's what it is. And there's nothing more rewarding when you have someone that you're working with that gets a light bulb moment like that, where they realize something that's been holding them back forever. And then they realize, and it's like, you know, and there's just something so joyful about sharing a moment with another individual when they are experiencing that, you know, kind of process. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. How do you find, I mean, there must be kind of a happy kind of, you know, a release of energy, and it's kind of a feeling of relief, but it's also a feeling of joy that you've reached that place together. And especially because of the fact that it's intuitive as well, which is even more enjoyable because you're both on that journey of discovery together. And there's just something so beautiful about that, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's, yeah, it's extremely rewarding. It's exciting. It's always different. There's no real formula to finding the answers. Every client is so unique, and the things that come up, it's quite entertaining. It's like I never get bored because there's these stories that come up and the way they feel about it, and so then it's always a connection with the heart. Always, you know, like you've got to be connected to the heart to get to that. And when you're connected in that way, you just go deep. And yeah, real magic happens. Real magic.
Absolutely.
You can't explain it. You can't put it into words. Yeah. It's just
not logically, but you can always feel it intuitively, and that's what's so beautiful about it. But with regards then, so tell us a little bit more then about your journey. So you kind of got to the point where you decided to give up the medication. You kind of went through the first, 11 days or whatever, through all the trauma and stuff like that. So, like, what ended up happening then with regards to the pain?
Well, the pain became, the nerve is less sensitive. So that was in October last year, and we're now in end of February. And I'm able to use both arms normally without extreme sensitive nerve pain. And the beauty is I have no neck pain. And that was the biggest problem for the last 12 months, the neck pain. And I literally have no neck pain now. So even though there's bone damage, that's gone. But it was what I did after that, because I spent a period of isolation basically from October to New Year. And I bit by bit I made the decision that I would give myself 3 months to just slowly reconnect with the energies of all these different people that I'd been connected with before, so that as I reintroduced a new situation or a new person or maybe a new group of people, but as I did that, I then could feel within myself what it was that their energy was activating within me that could in some way bring up some of the old stuff that just needed to be released. And so I gave myself the time by not introducing myself to too many energies all at once, and just doing it incrementally, because I could see that, this situation with this person or these people, it's not about the person, it's not about the situation or the people. Yeah. It's about what are they activating? What's their energy that they may be completely unconscious about, so I'm not even focused on them. But something about their energy is shining a light on something within me that's still there, and I could then recognize, oh, that needs to be, you know, that needs to be just acknowledged. That's what it is. That's what it evokes in me. This is the feeling. This is the memory. I don't have that anymore. That's the old me. That's not me. Mm. I don't need to carry that anymore. I let that go. And so I did that bit by bit until from October to New Year, and it's just been extraordinary ever since, because, you know, everything in our life that happens is a reflection of who we are as a complete being. So even though we don't realize it, it's all showing us something. So by introducing stuff bit by bit, it was a lot more obvious. And since January, you know, there's been a few little situations that have happened, and you know, I've recognized, you know, that's an old pattern, an old cycle that I used to do. Yeah. God, it used to be a severe, you know, disruption in my life, but hey, I've just got to kick toe this time. No big deal. That's, you know, I can say that cycle's ended, basically. I'm just,
yeah, it's amazing though. So it's like, yeah,
it really is getting to know yourself.
Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly. And getting to know who you are not. And, you know, yes, a lot of times our identity is we identify with parts of ourselves that we are not. We identify with our unconscious trauma patterns, and then we process reality through those trauma patterns, thinking that that's the way things are, and trying to control the situation. But what we're really doing is just redirecting it back to the same pattern again. So we think we're taking control, but really we're not. We're trying to take control, but in trying to take control, we're actually repeating the pattern again. And that's why it's so important to let go, as you say, and just, you know, disassociate from it, and understand that your past is not who you are. The shit you've been through is not who you are. They're just possibilities that you have experienced throughout your lifetime, but they're not who you are. And I think that's what holds people back so much, and it's held me back so much in my life, is associating with those disempowering patterns, and believing that's just who you are. But really, it's not. It's just energy, and it's just an unconscious loop that you've been carrying for years, maybe since you were a kid and you had a trauma and something happened and you gave something meaning in your life. And each time you experienced a similar situation, you just kept reinforcing that pattern, that emotional trauma, over and over and over and over and over again, to the point where, you know, you reach a stage in your kind of awareness where you go, okay, maybe, you know, there's something going on with me. How can I move to different places and have life experiences with totally different people, but yet experience the same emotions and the same, you know, disempowering kind of experiences over and over and over again? You know, there's something going on. What's the variable here? You know, what's the constant here? Well, the constant is me, you know? So I just think it's fascinating when you kind of discover that about yourself. And then it means you have no choice but to take full responsibility then, because, you know, you're the constant. You're the constant. Yeah. And I think it's just, you know, for me especially, I mean, I can totally relate to what you're talking about here. And I'm going through the same stuff myself the last while as well, with regards to identifying patterns that I've, behavior patterns that I've been doing for years, that aren't even real. They're not even real. Assuming things about certain situations or about certain people, and victimizing yourself, all these different things. And it's like, yeah, it's so funny when you kind of, you can nearly step back and see yourself from the outside and, you know, I wouldn't say laugh at yourself, but kind of laugh about it, you know, and kind of just go, okay, there it is again. There's that victimhood again. There's that drama again. There's that, you know, there's that pattern again. And by being able to identify it externally, then you can kind of separate yourself from it a bit. But I like, it's so funny because I've been speaking to people recently, and there's so many people that go through this. There's so many people that go through it. And it's just a part of learning about yourself. It's a part of evolving. It's a part of letting go. You know, but it's such an amazing process, when you kind of can see it for the truth of what it is, you know.
And it's such an empowering experience, and such a feeling of freedom when you've been a victim, but you know that nothing outside of you is to blame, because somehow within yourself you've created it. So all you've got to do is, you know, step back from yourself and recognize that it's all just programming, it's all an illusion, and observe yourself. But the key is when you separate yourself from your programming, but you're not separating yourself from who you are as a divine being. So you have to practice connecting in to the essence of who you are. And when you practice connecting to the essence of who you are, you can separate yourself from the programming and the stuff and just be the observer and go, wow, there I go again. You know, but this is who I am. The essence of who I am is this spiritual being having this incredible experience. And this is not one I want to have. So I'm just going to change that. I'm not going to do that anymore. So, the one of the things I say to people is, because, you can focus so much on healing and releasing and doing all of this stuff, and you have to do it. But if you have not practiced creating the good energy, the high vibrations, if you have not practiced experiencing consciously to feel joy, to feel love, and to be in these wonderful feelings, if you haven't done it consciously enough, there's not enough of it there to override the trauma. And that's why it just keeps coming back up.
Yeah, absolutely. So
we have to actually create that programming. So we're just biological computers, and if we, we've got to have a good program running. Because we do operate so much, 95% just subconsciously, there's so much going on. And you want to be able to just let go of the reins and just let the programming that's actually been programmed to experience joy and love and adventure and happiness and peace and tranquility and all these good feelings, you just want to let that run the show sometimes. And then just trust whatever guidance comes through. You do this impulse that way and you step that way, and you don't think about things too much, and you just go with this flow, and life is just extraordinary. And then, of course, sometimes you've done something because you've not trusted your guidance a bit, and you've stepped this way and come up against a wall that didn't realise would be there, and you realise, oh, that's some of that old stuff. What do I have to do to release it? That's when you do the healing work. You know, if you can't release it easily, that's when you go to a healer or a coach or a therapist or whatever. But I wrote in my book, you don't go looking for it. It will show itself soon enough, if it wants to be seen. So don't even bother looking for it. Just get on and create life in this joyful, fun, loving, happy, every good feeling you want. Just focus on that and give that as much focus as you can, and practice that. Just practice. And that is literally what got me out. But practicing all of that, I had to do all the healing, but without practicing that, it just would have been too fragmented.
It's almost like the healing is letting go and kind of creating space for new possibility within, say, your emotional being. But by cultivating the joy and the love and the compassion and the higher vibrations, then you're filling that space back up, and you're elevating your emotional self. And because it's funny, because I was going through it, like, for the last, like, how long, probably two years, I've just been up until about, say, 3 or 4 months ago, I was just focusing on releasing constantly. And at one point I was like, what the hell's going on? I was like, well, I'm doing all this releasing, but I don't feel any different, Like, I feel different in the moment, and I feel the relief in the moment of when I was doing it. But then the next day something would happen and it trigger me again, blah, blah, blah. I was going, what the hell's going on? Like, what's the whole point of this? And then I said, right, I'm just going to stop focusing on releasing all the time, because I think the more I'm focusing on releasing, the more I'm just finding stuff to release, and then the more I'm kind of just, nearly spiraling in that. But at the same time, I'm glad I did that now, because at the point where I'm at now, where I can look back and see why it was necessary to do all that releasing. Because now what I'm experiencing is the ability to be able to identify the patterns that I was actually releasing before. And now by being able to identify them, I'm able to separate myself from them, and I'm able to not get triggered by them. So a lot of times we can go through these processes and think that, you know, the work that we're doing is not really getting us anywhere. And we assume that because we don't feel different, that nothing's happening. But on an unconscious level, there is always something occurring. There is always something happening when you're doing the spiritual work, when you're doing the energy work, when you're doing the releasing work. There's always some, it's a momentum, and it's contributing to the future of your future self, you know? So it's just very, very important to kind of never lose faith in that. But at the same time, sometimes letting go of stuff is the best thing to do as well. Because I said, right, you know what? I'm done with this releasing stuff. I was like, I've had enough of it. I'm done. I'm done with it. But by doing that, I let go and I detached. And I detached from my healing. And then what happened as a result is then I kind of attracted more healing than without any effort. Do you know what I mean? So it's a funny paradox, the way that our kind of minds work. And again, it comes back to, for me, trying to control things. Like, I only realized not too long ago that I've, you know, throughout my whole life, I've tried to control different situations in certain ways and nearly pretended to myself that I wasn't trying to control them. But I actually was. And, you know, a lot of times we try and control things in an effort to redirect the outcomes. But what we end up doing is recreating the same outcomes again, you know, because it's unconscious. Our behavior is driven by the unconscious. And consciously, we think we're doing something. We think we're navigating, but unconsciously, we're just doing the same thing over and over again. So it's just like, I'm just laughing about it because this is exactly what I've been going through for the last while with stuff, you know. But again, I think it comes back to self-compassion. You know, you've got to just kind of, you know, forgive yourself for being, you know, for getting yourself in these situations and for experiencing the, you know, the trauma and all that type of stuff. Because I find a lot of times we tend to beat ourselves up for the shit that we've been through in our lives. We tend to blame ourselves because we went through trauma. And we tend to feel shame in certain ways because of certain things that might have happened to us. So how do you kind of tie in forgiveness with regards to your healing, like forgiving yourself and forgiving the other people that may have been involved?
Forgiveness, that's interesting. I've always, since I was very, very little, I've always been able to see deeper within a person's when there's, you know, some sort of behavior that's unwanted. I've basically always been able to see that that's coming from something deeper. I've somehow just recognized it. I didn't know that that's what I was doing. And so forgiveness is only needed if you've condemned a person for whatever actions, yourself or them. But because I actually understood, I actually didn't condemn them in the first place. And I was mostly like that with myself. And because I was also able to get, as I shared yesterday, from a very young age, I had the presence of light with me, and it was just always there. So I was able to experience this feeling of being safe and being just joyful within myself. And so I lived this very contrasting life where I ended up creating a lot of fear for myself. And it began as a child. I didn't realize that I was sensing the you know, the negative vibration within adults, and I would just hide behind my mother. And I didn't know that that's what I was sensing, and that's why I was shy. And of course, you know, the adults presumed I was shy, and I was literally conditioned into believing I was shy. And then one day, about 8 years ago, I suddenly had this this light bulb moment with someone that we were going through some NLP practices together, and I suddenly sat up and I said, "I'm not shy. I never have been. I just thought I was."
Yes.
And it was just the most amazing experience, because it was like I could never talk to people because I wasn't able to speak my truth. But it began because I was hiding from the negative vibrations that I sensed from them, but I didn't know I was sensing it. So I was programmed and conditioned into certain beliefs.
Yes, I can relate to this so much. Yeah, I can relate
to that. And so then there was fears that developed, and I didn't even know that that's what I was sensing. And it goes on and on.
And then stories about those situations, and then assigning your identity to yourself and saying, I'm a person who is this because of that, not realizing that wasn't real in the first place.
But I certainly did create a life where I was quite imprisoned in my relationship, and I justified bad behavior towards me because I could see the pain that it was coming from, and I held no resentment at all about any of that, and I can see that I was allowing myself to be a victim, and it was, you know, I understand why now, and it's okay, I've healed all of that, so it doesn't matter anymore. And but I was so fearful of so much because I was sensing the energies around me that I didn't understand that's what I was doing, and I just kept creating fear in myself, and I was avoiding fear. But I was so fearful that I was fine if I was in a situation like in a work environment. You know, it was like I wore a certain persona, so I didn't have a problem doing the job, communicating, getting out there. But as soon as I was just me, you know, I wasn't a mother or I wasn't a wife, I was just me. Mm. And talking to someone, I literally couldn't talk. My whole body would heat up, and I would, you know, start to sweat. And I couldn't, because I was coming from my own truth, and suddenly I was being seen. But I was so scared of being seen because I was hiding from all the negative energies that I couldn't see. But it took me, you know, a lifetime to figure that out. But in the process of healing and figuring that out, I've developed that and understood that I've always had these abilities. I just didn't know I had them, and I didn't know how to use them. No. I misunderstood them. And I'm so grateful for that whole journey of confusion and terror and all sorts of things, because now I see things so much more clearly, and I understand people from, you know, from all sorts of walks of life in all situations. I don't have that that judgment on people. So, I mean, yes, there were times I definitely condemned people, and there were things to forgive. And the Ho'oponopono statement, are you aware of that?
Yes, absolutely. I've been using it for years. It's very powerful.
That's a really good one for clearing, you know, things that need to be forgiven. But in general, there was, for me, a lot of the time, I didn't condemn them. I just didn't like it, and then the thoughts would be around, I don't like this, and I don't want this experience, and it'd be more around that. And I was really cementing that in to myself and keeping myself in victimhood and the fear patterns and the illusion.
Exactly. That's it. And again, you know, like they always say about remembering who you are, and I think, you know, that's what's going to happen with you, you know, with regards to that, you know, it's, you remember who you are, because at the end of the day, all those things that you experienced when you were younger, you didn't know what you were experiencing. You didn't know that you were picking up on other people's energy. You didn't know. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, when you're remembering who you are, or discovering who you are, it's like, you're realizing that all the stuff was illusion. And that's why they say Maya, you know, Maya, the world of illusion, because it's all the, you know, it's all the illusion of it's our lack of wisdom about what is occurring in the moment. And it's our lack of wisdom with regards to our own, you know, I suppose, power in that moment as well, with regards to the way that we perceive the situation.
We don't know what we don't know. And ultimately, everyone is doing the best they can. Now, if you know that, you know, it's like, well, if they don't know, everyone is doing the best they can, even when they're doing things they really shouldn't be, that's the best they can do in that moment. And it takes some of the judgment and the criticism away, because you can have a bit more compassion, not condone any inappropriate behaviors and situations.
Yeah.
But just have some understanding and compassion of how it could even come into being. And then from that point, you know, you can begin to find solutions and
absolutely,
yeah, and move towards the positive. But if you keep yourself in that condemnation, and you know, this is wrong and they shouldn't be doing that and should know better and all of this, if you keep yourself in that, you never get to any solutions. You just go around in the same old patterns.
That's exactly right. And that's why people like sometimes find they can't change, and they're like, oh, why is this happening to me? Why does this keep happening to me over and over again? Why is this happening to me? Because there's an unconscious process occurring that they haven't identified yet, and they haven't seen, you know, what it is that's causing that behavior. And it can take years. I mean, it's taken me years. I mean, I'm 37 now, and it's taken me more or less that long to realize the trauma pattern that I've been repeating over and over and over again in relationships. And it's just fascinating how we can kind of, you know, create that story of victimhood you know, about ourselves, because in reality we're not victims. Like we're not victims. We're just, you know, we're victims of our own emotional perceptions, you know, and we're the ones who decide whether or not a situation is going to hurt us or going to affect us or going to empower us, you know. And you know, it sounds ridiculous saying that. You know, it might sound ridiculous to some people hearing that, but at the end of the day, when you kind of go inside yourself and really kind of look back at your life as a whole, you'll always be able to see how your perception changed regarding a situation, you know, as you were going through it and then after it, you know. And I think it's the change in perception when you can kind of look back and stuff and go, yeah, you know what, I've been through a lot of stuff in my life, but you know what, I wouldn't have learned the lessons if I hadn't gone through that stuff. I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't have the insights. I wouldn't have the wisdom. I wouldn't have the knowledge if I hadn't gone through that stuff. You know, so as they say,
all the skills that you gain, all the experiences, all the perspectives that you learn, and it keeps life really quite interesting.
100%, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your book then. You co-authored that book. You got to actually tell us about the first book first, The Ascension Battlefield. Yeah, I really want to hear about that. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was that came into being. I knew that one day I would write a book. I knew I had a story to tell, but it was back in 2006 when I had a spiritual experience that has been the driver for me to actually really understand what it is to be a human being. And you know, knowing that we are a spiritual being having this experience as a human being. So that experience in 2006 has been the underlying driver. I write in my introductory a little bit about that, and it was I found myself in a situation. I had recently left my husband. We'd had 5 children together, and it was quite a dysfunctional situation in so many ways, although there was also a lot of love and a lot of light. So it was very contrasting, a very, very contrasting experience. But I had left him basically because one of our children was quite suicidal, and it was... His behaviour was starting to play out in her. She was starting to become quite destructive, and they were being very destructive towards each other. And to me, it was like they're going to kill each other if this situation, you know, just continues endlessly. And so I knew she was a young adult already at that point, and I knew that I. She was actually the one that gave me the strength to go, I cannot be in this situation for myself anymore, but it's for her, because I have to make sure she's safe. And so I separated from my husband, and she, you know, she was suicidal, so there was a lot of trauma around that. And there was a situation where I did save her life. I did find a little nun, a blue, unconscious, not breathing. I got her breathing again, and it was the middle of the night. I'd been at work. I knew something was going to happen, and I rushed home. I knew what to expect, helped her to breathe again. And because I'd only recently moved into that home, had left my husband and my sons with my husband, just to be with my daughter, and didn't know the neighbours, went knocking on the doors in the middle of the night. One turned out to be a registered nurse, and here I am standing at, I think it was about 10:30 at night, with my daughter's on the floor, just gasping for air.
Oh my God.
And because she was a nurse, you know, the two sets of neighbours were standing, all perfect strangers, standing in my lounge room, and we're all standing around her. And the nurse is just getting my daughter to blink. Yes, you know, once for yes or twice, well, once for no, twice for yes, I think that's what it was. And so she was sort of just ascertaining whether she was, even though she was not really able to control herself, she was, you know, able to give some sort of response through blinking. And so in that moment, the nurse looked up at me and said to me that she will be okay. Now, because I trusted her word so much, the sense of relief that I experienced in that moment, that I knew that she was safe, and that, you know, the natural love of a mother just comes through, and that feeling of relief, I literally found myself, you know, standing awake, alert, aware of the situation, but I was not in my body anymore. I was literally, my body was shaking because I was quite traumatized, a lot of adrenaline running through my body and a lot of panic. But I was not in my body, and all I was experiencing was profound bliss. It was just the most extraordinary. It was so clear, it was so light, it was so peaceful. Wow. It was just like there was no negative vibration. There was no trauma. There was no nothing but absolute bliss.
How
I was in that experience while standing alert, awake. You know, it was like an out of body death experience, but I was awake. I was conscious.
And when you say it was like it was out of body, in what way? Describe that, like, you know, tactically.
Well, my awareness was up above my head to the right. That's where my awareness was positioned.
Wow.
And my awareness was that this is me, you know, this is who I am as a spirit, basically. That's who I was. I was not my body, I was my spirit. And I was there long enough. It felt like an eternity. it was amazing, and I can just go back into it so easily. But it was probably not very long, because what happened then, once I really acknowledged the experience, my awareness came back into my body. And my body was shaking and full of adrenaline, and all I could feel was this trauma within me, and I was shaking. It was just hell in my body. And after that, I'd already been a meditator. I'd already had that same experience internally, but I'd never been out of my body to experience it. So all I knew is I wanted to escape my body. And, you know, I'd sort of escaped a marriage, but here I was trying to escape my body, and I couldn't. And I did end up having a nervous breakdown after that. And that led me to making the decision to, I intuitively knew we needed change. I knew I had to get my daughter. We were living in regional Australia, south of Sydney at that time, on the south coast. And I knew I had to be in the city to be able to get proper care for her. And I knew I needed a change, and in the process, my husband ended up, you know, my boys came to live with me at that point. So everything sort of worked out there as far as, you know, for me as a mother and my children. But I made the decision that I had to get to a city, and the only city where I felt like there was anyone that I had any sort of support, and was the other side of Australia in Perth. My brother was here in Perth. And I knew that I just had someone that would look out for me, that loved me, and I needed that, and I would be in a city. So I made that decision to move, and that's where it all began. That spiritual experience was the driver And because I'd been through, you know, domestic abuse, and my husband had tried to kill me at one point. So, I mean, I've been through some stuff. And my daughter was suicidal and in and out of hospital and eventually diagnosed with schizophrenia. So I can tell you there's been a lot. But none of that is traumatic for me anymore. The other family members are still experiencing the trauma, but I'm able to now help them because since 2006, I've done everything I could intuitively, and I didn't even know I was doing that. And I've managed to heal this stuff so that I can actually be everything I need to be for anyone, whether it's family members or anybody else that's experiencing any sort of trauma. But that spiritual experience has been the driver, and wanting to understand who we are as a spirit in human form. Really wanting to understand that, and then wanting to understand the confusion that caused my daughter to be suicidal, which was, she's very, very gifted, very, very creative, and her third eye is just wide open, so she just sees things. But that was just so much confusion, and I had to understand that, and I had to understand emotional trauma, and I started to do that more and more, and then gathered so much information between 2006 and 2012. But then the pattern I was in was absolute miracles would happen. Like, I'd just be blessed. These things would happen, extraordinary things. And it's like, wow, I could not have planned that. And I know I created that. And I began to, you know, understand by 2012, I understood I am actually creating this. No. But I'm also creating these challenges that keep coming to me, and I don't want them anymore. So that's how I was searching for all this information. And 2012, I was going through a different emotional trauma, and I again had an out-of-body experience. This time I was asleep, and I was aware of my sleeping body, and I could see my room. My eyes were closed, but I was not in my body, and it was the same blissful light experience. My awareness was just floating above my body. And in that moment of awareness of my sleeping body, the breath was really, really shallow, as it is when it's breathing. When it's asleep, often the breathing is quite shallow. Mm. So I was aware of the breathing, and I knew if I took a breath, I'd end up back in my body. So I just sort of observed it for a while. But in that moment, of being aware of not being in my body and being aware of all of the information that I knew at that point. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. It just wasn't all working out, but I knew what I was supposed to do. So in that moment when I took the breath, suddenly it was like it was like all the pieces of the puzzle came together, and it was like, I just know. All I knew is, I will follow my intuition every step of the way. And so that led to the further healing, because it just led me on a track of doing all sorts of things I never thought I'd do. I mean, I never imagined I'd be getting up in front of audiences and running workshops, creating them myself, and you know, doing, I ran the yoga classes and meditation classes. You know, like I just have done all these things that I never thought I could. Because I used to be this person that thought I was shy and couldn't talk to people. But, it was 2012. I just knew what I had to do. And from that moment, every step has been intuitive. And I have learnt to trust my own guidance and not doubt it. And that's been remarkable, to have that trust in yourself, because, well, it's something higher, it's something more than you. It's none of your programming, it's none of your conditioning, it's none of the stuff that you've been through. It is divine wisdom. To know that you're just so connected to that and trust it so absolutely, that's been the most extraordinary part of the journey since 2012. And it's been magic.
So
it's been up and down. Yeah. But it's been magic, The downs have been less down, and then the ups have been more consistent across the board. And then, you know, some little triggers here. Ah, there's something I've got to identify. Thanks for showing it to me. This life situation, this person, this memory, whatever. And but then I just get on with just following that guidance, and it just takes me. I mean, it took me to Egypt 2 years ago. I couldn't believe I was going to Egypt. I had never thought of doing that.
It's
and the experiences I had there was extraordinary.
Wow.
So, yeah, intuitive guidance, trusting the heart. It all began with trusting myself as a vibrational being, knowing that my heart is actually telling me something and learning to trust that. And only following what felt good.
Yeah.
And not doubting that, not second guessing it, not going, yeah, but logically I should be doing this. I mean, I did that too, but I soon learned.
But what I love is that, like, what you said there a few minutes ago about, like, you kind of, it's nearly like you kind of surrendered, in a sense, you know, in regards to the control. Again, it comes back to trying to control our lives or whatever. And you kind of surrendered and said, right, I'm just gonna, you know, kind of let go and allow my life to unfold. And I think there's something so inspirational about that. The fact that you said that, you know, you ended up doing things that you never thought you could do. You ended up doing things that you never thought were possible for you. But by letting go and trusting in your higher power or source or whatever word, label, God, whatever label people want to put on it, by letting go and trusting that you were kind of, you know, being guided and that you were kind of supported and protected, like, allowed you then to nearly, you know, kind of let those new possibilities for greater experiences into your life. And I just think that is so inspirational listening to that.
That's what my book's about, is that this, that point of just surrender, the complete freedom. That happens when you're just in that surrender, and there are no more battles. You know, so I used a pen name because the publishers suggested a pen name, and when they suggested a pen name, at first I was resistant, and I thought, wow, I'm resistant to this. I'm attached to my name, and I thought to myself, wow, the book is actually about non-attachment. That's part of the message.
How ironic.
Okay. I just knew I had to come up. I knew I had to have a pen name. And then it was like, yeah, what do I call myself? You know, I mean, I'd never thought about it up until that moment. I had no intention of having a pen name. But I, Ian popped into my head, Angel. I thought, oh wow, yeah, that's a good first name. That's great. But what am I going to use as a surname? And as I'm just feeling into it, I'm just feeling my heart and feeling the love and the feeling the idea of a pen name without thinking about it. And in pops in the word night. And my actual first thought was, oh wow, yeah, day and night, dark and light type of thing. But then suddenly I hear this voice, night with a K. And I just went, oh, yeah, angel knights, meaning a knight in armour. And that goes so well with the title, Ascension Battlefield.
Oh,
and
wow. Yeah.
I loved the name because it had so many, it was, I mean, you know, I talk about people and how we're multidimensional and go into a little bit of the logical science of that, as well as the spiritual stuff, and I just, I can't remember what I was saying, but anyway, about the name.
Yeah, you were saying how the name related to the book.
Oh yeah, it was basically the you know, the name Angel Knight meant so many things to me from different perspectives. So it was almost like the name's multidimensional in meaning to me, because it matched the title. Now, I know every human being on the planet is an angel. You know, we're all angels. So it's like this represents every human being. And this illusion, this world that we've been living in, that we all struggle with, is such a battle that we think we have to be warriors. And part of the message of the book is, it's time to stop being a warrior. It's time to take that armor off and just put it near the front door. And every time you leave, you can remember that you used to need it. But hey, complete surrender. You don't need to be a warrior.
Yes.
You don't even need that. But that's the old, that's the 3D version.
Yeah.
That's not 5D. You know, we don't need that. Yes, there might be some aspects and situations where you might feel that you do need protection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you do, you know, okay, until you get past that, that's okay. But ultimately, to be in that fifth dimensional space, we don't need to be warriors. We can take off our armor and be these angels that in the third dimension, yeah, we were knights in the old world, but hey, we're so much more in the new world. and then also, it represented my mother and my father. My mother used to treat me like an angel. She, you know, she really gave me so much love, and that's what I attribute to, you know, really being able to have the balance of feeling the joy and the love because of who she was. And she's passed away. But basically she would tell me I was special. So I had a little bit of that programming of knowing there is something special here. And, you know, we are all angels. And my surname, which is my father's, I've never changed my surname. And my father, you know, left, my parents separated when I was five. But and he was very little to do in my life. But there was always love between us. There was actually nothing else but just love. Just we didn't see each other. But the surname, it's a German name, but it actually means spear-shaped. And I thought, wow, I'm honouring his name and memory because he's passed away. With knight, you know, has a spear. And our surname means spear-shaped.
Wow.
And my mother, she's just an angel. So I really felt like I was honouring the fact that they gave me my name, but this represents them as well. So it meant so much to me, this name, and I didn't think of it, I'll tell you. I didn't think of the title. It was guided, definitely, and the whole book was guided, and the way it came through was not expected. It basically is letting people know, bringing some logic into who we are as multi-dimensional beings, and knowing no matter what you have been through, it doesn't matter what it is, you can get past that and you can reach this point of just absolute bliss. You can be surrendered and feel free and live deeply in love with life. And have joyful experiences manifesting left, right, and center. You can reach that. You've just got to know and understand and focus on the right things and learn to trust, you know, your own guidance, which then helps you understand yourself more deeply and connecting with your body. You know, this physical vessel is, you know, it's the earth to our spirit. So it's you know, we are that, you know, we're meant to be in this physical realm, but we're meant to feel the, you know, experience this life that is this fifth dimensional consciousness. So it's a joyful world. It's a Garden of Eden, so to speak, if anyone uses that terminology.
Mm-hmm.
It's this place of paradise and bliss and to a large degree, that's how I feel my life is. It's not absolutely perfect yet, but it's basically to the 99.9%, that's how I feel my life is.
But that's essentially...
And I just love it.
That's essentially what enlightenment is, you know? It's that ability to see things from the highest potential, you know? To see things from the highest potential of bliss and joy and love and see the earth as paradise. And, you know, it sounds like such a crazy concept, you know, probably to most people who mightn't be, you know, aware of the concepts because it's like, oh, the world's all messed up, blah, 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 blah. Look at the news. But it's like the news perpetuates a certain viewpoint of the world that, you know, is only a tiny minority of what actually goes on every day, you know. And it's just, yeah, it's amazing to kind of have that perspective, because it just gives you, it gives you emotional, you know, invincibility nearly with regards to the external world, you know, being able to find that power within yourself and knowing that really you are the calm in the center of the storm. You know, you are the calm in the center of the storm. And when you discover that you are the calm in the center of the storm, well, then the storm can't touch you, because you're the calm.
No, it can't touch you. And eventually that storm just becomes this pleasant thunderstorm that just, you know, brings life to everything. And you know, it's a joyful experience.
Exactly.
So it is, you know, the storm doesn't become a problem in itself anymore.
Because you accept it in its entirety. Because you accept it as part of the nature of existence. But in doing so, you also accept yourself as beyond all of that that exists within yourself as well. You know? So it's amazing, the paradox of consciousness and the universe. You know, the universe exists, you know, or consciousness exists within the universe, while at the same time the universe exists within consciousness, and it's this infinite play of back and forth. Regarding our perceptions, internal, external, and it's fascinating. I mean, I just love, love talking about this stuff.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, we're all the center of our own universe. You know, we are all individual universes, all in the one physical universe, just co-creating together. And we come into contact with another individual in their universe, and you know, we can either have some chaos and collisions, or we can have some harmony and a melding to connect and enhancing our own universes. It's understanding that we are the center of our reality, and when you really get that, then you can understand that each individual is the center of theirs, and you can look at them from a new perspective. Because it's like, okay, well, That's what it means to me. But hey, they're in the center of their reality. What's their experience? What are they? Yeah. And my experience won't be what their experience is. And maybe we can communicate that. Communication gets better.
Exactly.
And that empathy and understanding and compassion with non-judgment. Know thyself. Know thyself, and
exactly know thyself.
Come right into your body. And I guess, like, I used to run a lot of classes, yoga classes and different meditation classes, but at the end of the yoga classes I would do this specific meditation where I would it was great after the yoga too, because I do an all over body stretch, which was part of my pain management routine, so it was nice and gentle. But I'd get everyone to lie down, and then we would just start focusing right through our body and bring energy through our body and connect with every single part of our body. And then we'd go through connecting to the breath and breathing into different parts of our body. And people would get so connected to their body that they'd then start to have these different visual experiences. But they would be connected to their body and really conscious as well, and that for me, that connection to my body, just continually coming back in and not being outside of myself and then projecting my awareness into the illusion around me. I'll see something, but then I'll come back into my body. So that practice of coming into my body was just how it became so much easier to go, oh, that's happening. Oh, my awareness is out there. But if I keep my awareness out there, I'm sort of projecting myself out there. Let's just bring myself back in and then observe it and witness it and feel it and sense it. So, yeah, coming into your body is practicing doing that is really very powerful at beginning to be able to really know yourself more deeply, but also know your effect on your reality and know the effect that the reality around you is having on you.
Absolutely. And it's almost like when you kind of get into those states, it's almost like you're merging your mind, body and soul together as this one aligned you know, entity or whatever. And that's when you kind of feel the fullness of life. Then you feel that bliss, you feel that, you know, the physiological effects of calmness and of peace and of gratitude and abundance and joy and appreciation. And it's just, you know, when you go into meditation and you get to that point and you're able to see the world in its entirety and see the world through the eyes of bliss or through the eyes of gratitude and appreciation. I just think, you know, to be able to experience those states within yourself is just the most wonderful blessing, you know.
And, oh, it is. And there is that melding. There is that melding between the spirit of who you are, that higher awareness with who you are. Of who you are, there's a melding of you and your conscious awareness in this physical form. I was told a couple of years ago, it was just before I wrote the book, my first book, someone said, oh, you're going to write books, you're going to write a whole lot of books. And I said to them, yeah, I know. I just don't know when, but I just knew I would. I was endeavouring to explain to her, a very, very gifted, clairvoyant lady who just would bring through this amazing information. And I was trying to explain to her what my experience of you know, living in this world now, in this new way that has, you know, just magically, you know, just happened over time. It wasn't an overnight thing. But what she said to me was, she said that my spirit and my brain had melded. And what I do is I automatically just go into my heart. Like, I don't think, I just go into my heart. The thought pops in. I'm straight in my heart. All right, what does that mean? Like, it's not in my head. And it's like, wow, I've brought that higher awareness down into my body because I connect to my heart. And that's what she said to me. I was like, wow, is that how you perceive it? And that's an interesting way to explain it. But I know it's about that connection to my heart.
Yes.
And to my entire physical body as well. So I don't go into my head. I think a lot less, say a lot more, and know a lot more.
Yeah. Yes.
Because
yes.
It just comes through. It just comes through from my higher self, from my spirit. Our body is this consciousness in itself, and I'm just connecting to the consciousness of that with an awareness that I'm this, you know, programmed being that operates in this world with this persona and these likes and you know, these sort of quirks. that sort of awareness. So there's that awareness of the higher self, the physical consciousness of the body, and my consciousness as a human being living this experience. There's those three things. I call it the Trinity.
Mm. No, I was just about to say that. Yeah, the Trinity. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what we're all here to do. Just connect to our heart and keep trusting that, and everything else will just fall into place because it will lead the way and everything will just happen, because that's really all I did. I just kept following my heart. Just kept following that guidance within my heart, and over time trusted it more, and over time it's just second nature. I don't have to think about it. That's it. No, it's just the heart. The heart is the main brain in my body.
Yeah, I love that. And the heart is the very first, like the first cell that's created when we come into this world is a heart cell. And then we grow from our heart. And so we actually come into this world as our heart first. And then we grow from that.
That's interesting.
Incredible. Yeah. You know? I've absolutely loved this conversation, and it's been amazing. We've actually been going for over an hour and a half now, so I think it might be time to wrap it up.
I think we'll have to make it another day.
I know. Well, you know, I'll have you on again. It's not, you know, I love these conversations, and I'm actually going to start.
It is nighttime here. Perfect time to do it for me.
Yeah, exactly. You're in Australia.
Another day, another light.
Yeah, you're in Australia. I'm in Ireland. You're what, 6-7 hours ahead of me now.
Eight hours.
You're 8 hours ahead of me. Yeah. Wow. So it's fantastic. We could go on all night.
Isn't this modern technology wonderful?
Isn't it just? I say that to people all the time when I reach out to them on Facebook, to do interviews. I'm just like, isn't this just amazing how we can just reach out to people anywhere in the world at any time, and just have these amazing connections. We're so, so blessed,
But less than 48 hours have a conversation that's probably close to 2 hours long.
Exactly.
We've only known each other 48 hours.
I know, and that's the beauty of it, But so tell people where they can find out more about you.
I use my Facebook page such a lot. So under my name, Lynette Gammon. But I will also be found through my book website, which is www.angelnightauthor.com, and I can be emailed from that website. So some people don't necessarily want to connect through Facebook for whatever reason, so they can send an email if they go to my website. A little bit of information about the book. And or I do have a Facebook page. It's not one I use a lot, but that's called Angel Night - Ascents. And the word ascents is spelled ASCENCE, and it means ascending into the essence of yourself.
Ascending with the essence of yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's what ascents means. It's just a made up word. And so Angel Night - Ascents, that's my Facebook page. Don't use it a lot, but anyone can message me through that as well. And reach out on Facebook through Messenger or go to the website and send an email.
Excellent.
I'll put
links to the Facebook page and to your website in the podcast description anyway.
It's been amazing.
It's been absolutely phenomenal listening to your story. You're such an inspiration, and the fact that you were able to get off your pain medication and literally heal yourself emotionally and now live your life without having to worry about taking that medication. I mean, the doctors would have had you on that for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And he's pleased that because he actually does acupuncture as well, and he did do acupuncture with me.
Oh, wow. Your doctor?
The GP, he actually teaches acupuncture here in Perth. So
that's fantastic.
Very, very good experienced GP. So I respect him a lot. And, I had this extra pain, and I, it was really making things difficult for me, and I respected his judgment, but at the same time, I never thought it was going to be forever, and it was sort of the easy route for a time, and but when it was time to get off it, it was time to get off it, because that's not me, I have 5 natural home births. I don't take pain meds.
Say that again. How many?
5.
5 natural home births. Oh my God.
All natural.
That should be in the Guinness Book of Records, I reckon.
I'm all natural.
I love it.
For me to have actually found myself in that position, I found it bizarre. But at the same time, it was a lesson in, just really trust yourself. You can do this. You can trust yourself. And it was really, I was attached to things being a certain way, and I had re-injured myself, and I couldn't do things a certain way again. So it was about non-attachment, really.
Mm. That's what it's really all about at the end of the day. If you think about it, non-attachment, just letting go, letting it flow. And trusting,
freedom.
All right, Lena. Look, it was an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. I got massive amount of Yeah, just listening to you talk, and I was just like, I was lost listening to your story, and just, you're such an inspiration to so many people. And I just
thank you so much for asking me. I had no idea I was going to talk that much about all those things, but I do know that that's why I can identify with so many different people and clients, because it's like I can literally look them in the eyes and go, I know what you're feeling. Yes. Because seriously, I just have been through a lot. There is so much more to even talk about. But my book is about, here's a little bit of, this is what, you know, a touch of the stuff, but this is what you can feel now. You can feel this freedom. You can feel this peace. And, you know, this is possible. This, you know, this amazing divine experience, no matter what you've been through, is absolutely possible for you.
It's amazing. That's it. It's beautiful. Yeah. That's the destination. That's where the road leads.
Yeah.
You know?
That's where we're all going. Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Okay, then. Right. So we're going to wrap it up now, Lynette. Go on for another 3 hours. But I'll have you on again anyway. I'll have you on the show again at some point, maybe in a month, you know, a couple of months time or whatever. We can do a catch up, we can continue this beautiful conversation. How about that?
I look forward to it, and I'm sure we'll stay in touch.
Absolutely, 100%. Okay, guys. Well, look, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Journey Within. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.